About a week ago, I set a podcast with the lofty title of The Vision of Future Podcasting, where I set out basically a floor plan or an ideal way for a kitchen for podcasting. That is, whatever I'm podcasting, I'd like a procedure. If you can imagine certain cupboards and storage spaces for podcasts, and I serve the podcasts like meals at a certain rate at the front. And there's certain reasonings I have for doing things. I'll discuss those in a short while. You'll notice that it's taken a very short time before I've abandoned all that for the moment. And it looks as though, and it is true, that reality has bitten. The grim reality of actually doing it is here. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. Now, initially you can say, and it's true that you plan things out, and your first plan's the first draft plan, and setting out the plan is part of the thinking process where you get things wrong. There's this general idea that you think, and it's success, you're a bit like a big company, and things go through. And there's this, I think, a general cultural view that you plan, get things right, or abandon it. There's a conclusion to your learning, so you learn a certain amount, you master it, then you know everything, and then you can market it, pretty much like getting a degree or something like that. It's one of the things that I often think about during ceremonies, that before a ceremony, someone is very curious, that they want to learn more. After the ceremony, they've got the degree, they don't have to learn anything more, they know it all. So I'm not in that space of thinking I know it all, and I'm pursuing sort of several different lines of gentle understanding, with a sort of belief that long as I'm alive, there's a lot more to learn. I've actually got a book in front of me now called Electromagnetic Fields and Waves, and it's amazing to actually go back over the sort of the basic maths and really understand it and see it from a different level. And so I know a lot of people who do the exam and they know it, and the same thing has happened to me, but I can't help going back and spending time, so I'm really cut from a different cloth. So let's discuss in a sort of deeper level what this seemingly crazy plan was, that for some strategic reason I was producing podcasts. I want to gradually improve the podcasts, remove sort of some of the training and support, so having to produce scripts for podcasts and planning associated with podcasts. There's certain things that as you invest you get a limited return. There's an opportunity cost, so in certain circumstances you want to do several podcasts to develop an idea, and if the audience don't listen to those podcasts, it's going to be rather difficult. There's other things where if you just podcast without discussion with the people, you don't realise that they don't have the scaffold to go forward. There's other areas where you've got multiple strategic levels of podcasting. So I suppose some of the strategic levels is support on teaching, tours of molecules coming up, support on supporting youth, how you actually support them. It's a fairly important thing. Another strategic point's children's stories. It's various things that I have in the hopper and seeing how they actually form into an overall strategy. So there's the development of things. There's a strategic thing that I'm rehabilitating. There's no actual what I would recognise as a professional rehabilitation program for if you've been sick, getting you back in, and so that's my analysis. And rather than sitting around and wasting time, and getting your mind very focused and developing your skills, so there's that aspect. But for the actual podcasting itself, there's sort of an understanding that this is a product, initially sticking my finger in the air, checking the breeze, as you do if you are boomerang throwing. I should tell you that you throw. That's one of the things you do if you see these are returning boomerangs. People or good throwers know that we naturally you have to sometimes pick up and drop, and you throw the boomerang and you adjust your boomerang throwing. So there's a little bit of an analogy of this. So the overall plan was that there were several mechanisms, things to consider, like the quality, the importance of quality, the time, and the eventual path. That if you have a computer accessing your podcast, you can, from say the cloud, you can have several computers set up to access and process it, and then put back your podcast, so to speak, out there, so it's all processed, ready to go. This is ideal if you've got multiple computers. So my thinking is on that, but the reality is that I've only got one computer, which I've discovered. And then also to have something which can be rolling over and it's got a problem, you can assess it in time. That is, if there's a link, a problem uploading, you've got several computers trying to upload at the same time, and you've got a window, a 12-hour window between upload and publication, and then the overall publication process to write software and see what's out there, such that you can automate your automation, so that you can focus on the business of podcasting and all the other technicalities are handled for you. Obviously, down the track, you want to have your heads up to see what technology is around and what you invest in. So obviously, speech to text is an important thing, and then having had a general look that there's commercial packages you can drive, but can you actually automate those commercial packages? That they're of little value. They may save you time, but there's sort of a sucker in time to actually use it, and they may not be valued at the end. Of course, Google has a fantastic state-of-the-art software, so there's that strategic understanding of what's coming along. So there's the Google AI in terms of translation of voice to text in captioning is just outstanding, and you can actually access that, but that's a new type of technology to understand. So they're long range things. It's sort of like you don't know quite what you're going to cook, what the style of cooking, what your audience, who your clientele are, but you know that you're going to have to design a good kitchen, and so you set up and set things out, so you know what you have to build and what you have to buy, what you have to purchase down the track. Now, it wasn't for long that I began to stack these podcasts up in a pile and realised that, look, I'm spending all my time analysing which one is processed in its degree of processing, and have I published it yet, and have I done the various things for it yet. There was an advantage that I could do a What's Coming Up podcast, but of course, I don't think people want to know the individual podcasts. They want to know the general themes of what they're getting. So that's, in general, strategic processing. So it's not that the strategy was wrong. It's just that the strategy needed a bit more time incubation. And, say, in maths, the incubation period, for me at least, to understand maths truly is the whole of my life. I've been doing it. And similarly, education, of from 18 or 30 years of lab demonstration and tutoring, you just gradually pick things up. So it's a long term thing. So it's not at all distressing for me to actually lay out the kitchen plan, see that various things didn't work. Now, the killer thing for, so there's a great advantage for everyone to just dump how many podcasts you can produce in a day. There's two aspects to it. One is that the upload limit here I have in Australia is very variable and low. It can be 120 kilobytes per second, but it can drop down to 5 or 10, and the software you have to have doing it has to be able to cope with this, and the server you have to send it to has to be able to work out that this is happening as well, and you can restart. So that can really be a fly in your ointment. So if you plan something to do a bulk step, instead of taking 20 minutes, it can take 3 hours to actually churn through, and then the internet can come back miraculously. Now, what's the origin of that? Look, I'll eventually get through it. Are there ways around it? Yeah, I can actually write programs and put it on a computer, remote computer, where there is great internet. And so I can sort of manoeuvre out of it, but I can't do it at the moment. So the end result is now, as I produce a podcast, process it through, also putting it through the different caches of memory in the initial recording, depending on the quality of it, putting it up. I suppose that's another, and at various levels you've got different files, and it's best to actually just flush them out once you've done it and it's processed, it's finished there, remove it from there, so it's very clear and precise what's going through. The overall idea of producing, having a group of say 10 or 20 podcasts ready to go, you get some feedback, and then you can say, oh look, unfortunately half those podcasts are no longer serviceable for. I'm just thinking ahead. It's just sort of like a production line, sort of like similar to a industry. Until the production process is stabilised, you don't want huge inventories. However, to get a stable production process, you do need inventories. So sort of it's a plus and a minus. So from my production life of producing optical components, you want to get a few of the optical components so you can check your processes up. But if you're producing too many because it's unstable, your production process is unstable, it's very hard to balance and plan for it. And this is the other aspect for it, is the quality trade-offs. So the issue is having sufficient quality that you can repair a podcast. So repair maybe just getting the volume or noise subtraction, and then at the end of it you can say, well look, is this particular podcast worth, or is that publishable quality? Now there are certain things that when you're preparing draft podcasts for experts to review, you can actually have a lower quality if they're a good friend, and you can send it off. So there's a few situations like that. So you have a range of environments around available to you, which have a range of quality outputs. So with the technology that you select, a sort of a mobile phone while walking is actually better than a podcasting dictaphone, which is the VP10, which I am rather liking for a number of quality reasons. At the end, there's all these things to explore. The actual, so I'm gradually increasing my quality window for the production of things. So there's sort of my plan to have ActiveX and basically bot computers which do a certain processing, and you just have there, and they just turn over. So if you put in a file, it detects that there's a file there, takes a copy of it, produces a modified version of it, and eventually a text version of it, text and title, and produces it for the actual overall steps of podcasting. Is very important. This only makes sense if you're producing a large number and obviously eventually providing a service for other people. This is one of the strange things that you have to get your mind around. in Australia because there's a lot of innovation, but there's no market. So in America, you'd be all, I suppose, interested in getting a large market. In Australia, it's just getting it done efficiently in the sparse conditions. And look, finally, there's the so there's all those basic things. So it has gone from trying to release the podcast at the same time every day to an alert or a fixed number through a fixed process to the reality of the hugely variable internet speed that you get to upload, which is disruptive if you haven't actually automated it, sort of the cart before the horse or the chicken and egg problem, and it just requires long-term planning. This is not supposed to be a groundbreaking podcast, but for people who are more interested into the thinking of where things go. So this will perform a stream of podcasts. So my objectives at the moment is to have a fairly, I suppose, as far as the listeners are concerned, a fairly clear set of objectives, rather than the emergence of, I suppose, interesting topics, but interesting fields or specialized fields, similar to what a company does. So, a service station provides petrol. A supermarket provides all things you need that you go through in an efficient production, whereas a delicatessen will provide a pastry delicatessen will provide certain pastries and sit down services. So to evolve from just getting into the podcasting space to a more precise form, and at the end look at the production processes, and then at my end is look at the strategic level. What I want to do is actually move, I suppose, science-enriched teaching out onto a broader stage, rather than have it try and grind it through a system which has actually sort of locked itself into a customary knowledge form of teaching. Customary knowledge is really important. You have to teach kids the days of the week, how to speak to policemen, how to cross roads and not get run over. People wouldn't live very long if they couldn't read the labels on Drano and realize they don't have to eat it. So we live in a technologically advanced world, and there's a large amount of knowledge for customary knowledge. So you can actually raise people up to be a good consumer. To be actually someone who's able to face the challenges of global warming, energy crisis, changing careers, the more strategic, complex things which evolve by people. The most dangerous thing ever for humans is leadership. If you really think about it, the number of people who've died in World War One, World War Two. If you take your focus back from actually the actual details of the politics, these, if you take it back, these people have been led astray. So there's all these crises, I suppose, coming up, and a reason for doing it. So that's the big broad strategic level to actually redefine the rules of engagement for innovative teaching, and myself, I don't have this magic story, but I am a scientist pursuing different levels through the place, and this has an effect that the strategy for a scientist doing this is to actually get in there, engage, look at the data, analyze the data, and start to research and come up with solutions. So I think if you're asking a scientist to give you a completed solution, you're asking basically the public relations aspect of a scientist, but you're actually seeing me grind away and solve on multiple levels, and I'm only aware of one or two levels that I'm actually conscious and working on, but I'm working on multiple levels, and taking feedback. And this is an early stage with a couple of hundred people viewing or sort of listening, and we'll see if we can set a way of getting things done. And hopefully, once I've done the groundwork, other people can actually just simply podcast with innovative lessons or innovative strategies, things which are more direct. You don't actually require a journalist and a paper and a band and a ceremony to actually promote your thing. And we're seeing this all the time with Twitter and various other things like that. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on doing science, thinking science, and teaching science.